Good morning. You listen to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Maybank Haygood, the CEO with William Byrd Distributing. Maybank, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Kemp. Good morning.
There's been some changes that have gone on with your company. You've added a lot of different lines, and you're not with Armstrong anymore. Let's get into some of that in just a minute, though. A little background. This company, very old, 153-year-old company, and your service area, correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, you've got the Southeast, but all the way up to Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, and the Florida Panhandle, right?
That's exactly right, Kemp. The business does have a great history. It started in the fall of 1865. William Byrd was literally a blockade runner in Charleston Harbor and was caught, spent time in a prisoner of war facility up in Boston, and came back to Charleston after the war and started a building supply business. Mm-hmm. And he would take agricultural products to the north by sea and then would bring back finished goods. We've literally been in every building supply you can imagine over the last 153 years.
But at this point, flooring is a big part of your business, right?
Yeah, so flooring for William Byrd, we're exclusive to flooring. We made the decision back in the late 80s, early 90s to focus William Byrd 100% on distribution and 100% on flooring. We went from the early 90s being primarily a South Carolina-based business and on the coast of Georgia and the mountains of North Carolina to the footprint we're in today, which is a nine-state area.
And the brands that you've got, Johnsonite, Ropey, Metroflor, Sherdox, Bostic, XL Brands. I noticed that just releases you've sent us at Floor Daily this year. You've added Somerset, Beaufloor, it looks like Forbo, American Tile, Instafloor. I guess to replace what you were doing with Armstrong, when they left, it enabled you to get into some competing products, right?
That's right. And another one that would be in there is Centaur, which is another commercial line that we've taken on. And yeah, we're actually still representing Armstrong through the end of June, mm-hmm. and we're in the middle of that transition out. But honestly, we're very excited about our future. We've got six new suppliers. We were a Somerset distributor up in Virginia, and now we have an expanded relationship with them throughout our whole footprint. One of the things we're so pleased about, Kemp, is the fact that virtually every new supplier we've taken on, we've been able to secure that for the whole nine states. We've got 10 locations in those nine states and represent and distribute to roughly 4,000 retailers throughout that footprint.
And so a minute ago you mentioned Centaur and you said commercial. So how does your business break out, residential and commercial?
So if you're really looking at specifically like commercial contractors doing hospitality work, hospital work, school work, the true commercial sense of the word, we're about 70% residential, 30% commercial.
Specified commercial.
Yes. You know, some people will throw multifamily and some of those products into the commercial side, but we really look at that as more residential.
Mm-hmm. So when you look at your business model, do you have salespeople on the street as well, or do you just mostly focus on the logistics end of it?
The way we're structured, we actually have a sister company called TransSouth Logistics. We took our warehouse and delivery functions back in 2003 and spun them off into a separate company. And we perform true third-party logistics functions for about 50 customers around the Southeast, Mid-Atlantic, and some even expand further than that. And William Byrd is TransSouth's largest customer. So William Byrd is really a sales and marketing organization. We're really focused on the relationship side and the reliability side. We've got roughly 30 outside sales reps that call on dealers and subcontractors in our marketplace. And then we do have a team of inside sales associates who it's a training ground and also a great way to get to the smaller and more remote customers in our footprint.
Yeah, we just finished our annual report, our May issue, and we talked about how the business we felt like grew somewhere in the neighborhood of 3%, 17 over 16. Are you seeing that level of growth, or how's your business doing in comparison?
I think that overall is right. I mean, there are definitely winners and losers from a product construction standpoint. We've all seen dramatic growth happening in all of the LVT and WPC products. We mentioned a number of different suppliers earlier. Mm-hmm. We actually have two brands that are our own. One is called Palmetto Road Flooring, and the other is called Azalea Lane. And we've seen significant growth in those products over the last 5 years. I mean, it now represents a significant part of our total business.
Yeah, there's two ways for distributors to do that private label thing. You can actually go over and be the importer, or you can just take a product from a domestic supplier and call it your own. How do you play that game?
We focus first on where can we find products in the spectrum of price points that either from a construction standpoint or a visual that could be perceived as a value for our customers and their customers. And then we go source that. And so we actually, in those two brands, we've got a number of products that are domestic and, and a significant number of products that are also imports.
I see.
And they're, you know, from virtually all parts of the world. I'm careful not to call it a private label because we really think of it more as brand.
Okay.
And we've invested significantly into how we brand that to our dealers. We've got a number of approaches for branding it to consumers in our marketplace, and we're using web strategies for that as well as some targeted magazines.
Interesting. So my last question, and probably the media's question, is how is distribution evolving? And before you answer that, I was going to point out, when I went to the January Atlanta Regional Market Show, I was surprised to see that there were a lot of distributors that were offering products to dealers. So they're coming to these shows with their own brands. So that's one of the trends, isn't it?
It really is. It's interesting that that specific show, we've been going to that for the last 5 to 7 years, and each year it's become more important to us. We've taken more space, and we've had more traffic. So our brand promise, what we really focus on, is relationships and reliability. As you know, we've got a number of large, very good companies in our industry who have taken a path to market that's primarily direct.
Yes.
And then there's smaller accounts that really focus on the relationship side. What we're trying to do in our marketplace is try to provide both, because we really do have state-of-the-art logistics. We've got an excellent technology strategy. We're at a point now where over 30% of our orders are taken online by our customers. When a customer orders a product from us, however they order it, that's the last time they have to think about it, and we've really added value to them. So that reliability piece is critical. But we still find in our marketplace, with those 4,000 dealers out there, they're still looking for a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They're not interested in being a number.
Yeah.
They want a partner in business, and that's the role we're trying to provide for them.
Mm-hmm.
Your question around how distribution's evolving, the main functions that we provide are very similar to the way they always have been. You know, that local stock, just in time, can place an order with us today, and it will show up on our next delivery date, which is typically going to be the next day. I think that's a critical value that we provide to the marketplace.
Do you feel good about where distribution is headed and the viability of the business long term?
You know, Kemp, I really do. I got exposed to a book 30 years ago that was a part of something that Arthur Anderson did, which was Facing the Forces of Change, which was a wholesale distribution study, and they did it for about 30 years, every 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one I saw, they had a letter in there, and it was from an older mentor talking to a young man who was getting out of college. And his advice to him was, do not go to work for wholesale distribution, because in 10 years there won't be any wholesale distributors left.
Yeah.
And that letter was written in 1890.
Okay.
And I've never forgotten that, because the basic functions that we provide between retailers and manufacturers of being able to have, I mean, we have 60,000 different items in stock.
Yeah.
There's no way a manufacturer can do that effectively unless you're the scale of Shaw and Mohawk.
Yeah. Okay.
So we really provide a service on that side for the manufacturer. Being able to buy from us in job lot quantities next day is a tremendous value add to the retailer. So I think our future is bright.
All right, great. It was good to catch up with you. Thanks for the update on William Byrd, the piece of your business that's focused on flooring. Again, been talking to Maybank Haygood, the CEO of William Byrd, and you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloridaLA.net.